Happy New Year, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. Here at Worcester Nazarene, we are beginning the year off with 21 Jumpstart. It's a church-wide campaign to begin 2022 outright by clearing out the distractions and focusing in on God. Today, Pastor Nathan brings us the first part of the series, You Make Me Brave.
So indeed, today I'm beginning our new series called You Make Me Brave. It's really about being bold in our and secure in our relationship with God and what that means for us. And so You Make Me Brave is the actual title of the four message series, and then today's word is specifically boldness. And I've been reading already, and I'll talk to you about what I'm doing in the new year for Bible reading plan. But I've already been reading in Acts, and we're going to be drawing several scriptures from that today. And just to remind you that he was capturing a lot of the highlights, just kind of highlighting the things that happened in the first gathering of those who believed in the resurrection of Jesus, and that became the early church and beyond, which has created us here out of all of that. And if you read the book of Acts, you can't help but notice that one of the dominant themes, if not the dominant theme of that book, is boldness. And because of a God-inspired boldness, all kinds of wonderful things happen. Miraculous things happen. Transformations happen. And I wonder if sometimes the reason we don't see those things today as much is because we have a lack of Holy Spirit, power-sourced boldness. So we need to be challenged about that today. Will you open your heart and don't push it off to anybody else? Receive it to your heart. So here's a thought that'll kind of permeate maybe this whole series, but today for sure. That boldness or being brave is born out of passionate belief. I mean, I'm talking about a settled belief. And I'm just seeing, as from my perspective as pastor in these days, so many people have gone circumstantial, and they're judging God's goodness on their personal circumstances, be it up, down, right, wrong, whatever, or some outside circumstance. That's not what we base it on. We base God's goodness on who he is. And we look for his goodness and his activity. And we've got to settle that even when we don't understand. So do you passionately believe in God's goodness? I'm just asking. That transitions into a gift that God gives us then of bravery or boldness, if you will. Now, I'm thinking about this, and you know from history that you've heard about the disciples, but nearly all of them were transformed by the life and times of the resurrection of Jesus and by the upper room experience where the Holy Spirit came and filled them. But they were, talk about men in that case who passionately believed the message of Jesus. Nearly all of them went to their death proclaiming the resurrected Jesus. Do you know that to be true? If they would have caved, if they would have recanted, they said, we just dreamed it, it's just a myth. If they would have gone along with the idea at the times, their lives would have been spared undoubtedly. But they didn't. They refused to bow, and they proclaimed that Jesus was risen from the dead. They were all, nearly all killed. They tried to kill John. He survived. They exiled him to Patmos, as you know. But here's the bottom line of it today, that what you passionately believe determines how you live. What you really believe, deeply hold, what you've settled in your heart, that's going to determine how you live. How you're living right now and how you're going to live going forward. In other words, our lives need to align. If we're followers of Jesus proclaiming his resurrection until he returns again, then our lives are going to line up. He's the Lord of our lives and our lips and anything else that begins with an L that I couldn't think of. I thought of loins, but that wouldn't be a very good word. You look that up. I wasn't sure what it meant. Get me out of trouble here, Andrew. Look that up for me, okay? But here's what I want to ask you about. And this isn't about the power of positive thinking in any way, shape, but I guarantee you that if you're thinking of the Eeyore style, oh, last year wasn't so good, and I didn't do well spiritually, and I just think I'm going to hit the ditch and fail again this year, you probably will. If you believe you can't, you probably won't, but what if you believe that God can, and because of that, God in you, you can as well. I'm going to tell you, we need to change, and that's the emphasis that Pastor Joel talked about, the attitudes, changing those things as we come into a new year. But here's good news. Here's a good one. What happens when you passionately believe and receive and accept the fact, you settle the fact that Almighty God is calling you, empowering you, leading you, and equipping you to do his will? That sounds silly, doesn't it? It's God's will for you this year to do his will. Not your will. If you do his will, your will become one with his, and you'll get further than you've ever thought you could be before. God's will, following his will and way. That's His call. That's His will for every single one of us. And I believe that knowledge, recognizing that God's calling us this way, it'll give us an increased boldness, a greater boldness for sure. That'll cause us to speak up. We'll have that calm assurance and peace no matter what's coming at us. And we'll have a courage and confidence. And we'll act whether we have fear or not. We will step forward and obey God. And my prayer is that God will help us to become at Worcester Nazareth a gathering of Jesus characterized and known by our boldness for Jesus. That, some of you are thinking, right, being obnoxious and annoying? No, I'm not. I'm talking about our God-inspired and propelled boldness. May God give us greater courage and boldness as we live out our relationship with Him. I was listening to a Christian businessman describing his hiring procedure, and he said the bottom line is this: we get quality people, and we're characters of character. Chew on that for a while. That's what God's calling us to be as well. May we have the heart desire to live, listen, in fear of God and without fear of man. I'm tired of the fact that the culture is telling us what we can say and what we can't say. And I'm tired of the tension that comes in the room sometimes when we stand up for what the Bible says is true and we go, are we allowed to say that? I mean, come on. We agree with God's word and we're not going to cave or compromise. We're not taking our marching orders by culture. What God says is true. What He says is right is right. What He says is wrong is wrong. And our culture is not going to change that. Can I get any agreement out there? And we're not about to cave in. And we're not going to cave into circumstances. We're not going to measure God's goodness because of what's going on in our lives. We're going to say, I've settled it. God's good. He's working for good. He's transforming lives and hearts right now, even using what seems to be so difficult to bring glory to His name. And I want to talk about that. I want to give you an example, and then I want to give you three things that about boldness. So first of all, a great biblical example is this. Peter in the early days, how many of you know he was much more talk than walk? I mean, his heart was in the right place, but man, oh man, his mouth got way out in front of his feet. That doesn't ever happen to any of you, does it? Like when he said he would never turn his back on Jesus. Never, never, even if everybody else does, I will never fail you, I will never fail you, I never will. And Jesus responded, you remember how? Remember the rooster, Peter? Now, we could take some comfort in this. At least he was the last one standing, right? He was still there when everybody else took off. But the bottom line was that he finally took off too. Though his intentions were so good, his actions were lacking. But after the resurrection of Jesus, a couple of things happened. First of all, Jesus encountered Peter and dealt directly with his denial. And that's good too, because we don't just sweep it under the rug. Jesus said, basically, we need to talk about it. And Peter didn't get it. But Jesus basically told him in that restoration, you're forgiven. You're still on the team. Let it go. Now go out and touch people with my love and my name. That's what he did. And then once upon a time, things really changed because they were gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came and empowered them. They were given the gift of the Holy Spirit and they never looked back. And Peter, the once loud, cowardice kind of guy, preached with boldness and power, and thousands were saved on a single day, and on it went. He was on fire. He began pouring out the love of Jesus through his life everywhere he went. Wow, what a turnaround. Like this, you remember the story, Peter, you can read it. Peter and John encountered a man who'd been lame for 40 years. I mean, he couldn't walk. He was helpless, and they told him to get up and walk, and he did it. Wow. This stirred up a hornet's nest among the religious leaders and elite because they didn't think that miracle was possible, but here it happened, and it was undeniable right in front of God and everybody. And that because of that, Peter and John were arrested and brought up for trial. And by those who had the power to beat them, to sentence them to whatever, to imprison them and even kill them. But in that face of persecution, the boldness of the Holy Spirit within him took over. And he had a rush of Holy Spirit boldness, if you will. And I want to read Acts 4, 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the circle point, said to them. I mean, the people that had the power of life and death in their hands as far as they were concerned. Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? That was the problem. Verse 10. Let me clearly state to all of you and to the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Nazarene. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. You killed him. God raised him. We believe it. We proclaim it. No turning back. Classic boldness in action. The religious elite, the Sanhedrin, hated Jesus. He rocked their peaceful boat, so to speak, and they believed resurrections were impossible. They probably didn't believe in a virgin birth either, but it happened. Peter went right after him. You killed him. God raised him. And I was thinking about that. Isn't it interesting? And I alluded to this a bit ago, that all these years ago, the name of Jesus was controversial. Agreed? I mean, you could talk God, talk all you wanted, but you couldn't say the name of Jesus. That stirred it up. No stall, small stir it created. And nowadays, you can hear all kind of small God talk after games, man in the sky, you know, guy in the sky, and man upstairs, and this, that, and the other. But I want to tell you, when you put the name of Jesus on a testimony, it changes everything. It gets quiet, and awkwardness prevails. There have been times in the years since I've been your pastor when I've been asked to pray somewhere, and I'll say, if it's questionable, I'll only pray if I can pray in the name of Jesus. And if I can't, then you don't want me to pray. Because no matter what you say, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. To be bold, to be strong, we don't have to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Let's proclaim it. Let's be bold. Let's stand. Let's walk. Let's speak. Let's proclaim the truth. So here's some facts for you. I'm going to draw from Acts 4:13. And I'll break it down and bring three things out of this. I love this little passage. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. There's three great clear principles in that passage that I want to bring out. The first of all, I want to say, and I'll get to an amazing part, but you know how I feel about words that are overused. I get so sick of everybody saying everything is amazing and awesome. Everything is not amazing and awesome. Everything is not perfect. There was a Hallmark movie we watched, and every sentence the gal said, everything's perfect. And I think, no, Jesus is the only one that's perfect, okay? But I say this, I am never surprised, seldom if ever surprised at the things God does, but I never want to cease being amazed because he is worthy of our amazement. How many of you know that's true? So let's be careful in our words. Let's be careful how we throw around all these descriptive words that they don't mean anything when it comes to God because we wear them out over things that is not even true of. Just a thought there. The first thing I want to point out from the scripture is that bravery and boldness is normal. It really is. I mean, that's God's way of living for him. God loves to use ordinary people. We could go from cover to cover in the Bible. Like you and me, he gives us ordinary people extraordinary boldness. And how many of you know that changes everything? You know when you're getting a Holy Spirit prompt in the back and your heart starts racing, you know you should speak up, you should speak up, you should speak up. And whether or not you do can have such a huge determining factor of an outcome, be it good or not so good. But God loves to do that. Look at verse 13, the C part of that. They could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. And special training in scripture was so valued back then, and people were elevated so much by their level of education. And it's interesting because if you go and start looking at the definition of this ordinary business in the original languages, you know what it said in those days, and now it's not that far off. That meant they looked down at Peter and John, for example, like they were idiots. They didn't know a thing. Isn't that interesting? They were amazed and couldn't believe the boldness of these idiots. That'd be okay for you to say in the translation of this passage. They had an arrogance about them. Well, I want to tell you, if that's true then, it's true now, because people really look down on followers of Jesus many times, and it's like you can almost see some of them. You know, you Christians, I mean, you're pretty nice people, but you're well-intended, but you're off base. And bless your heart. I mean, that basically says you're an idiot. You know, bless your heart. You don't know what you're doing. You can't help it. That's what was then, we are facing now. And the name of Jesus is profaned and put down. And we can talk all kind of things as long as it's generic. But they couldn't believe the boldness of these ordinary men that God specializes in using. God empowers us with great boldness that points to him and praises him and gives him all the glory. God's boldness isn't natural, a human flesh. I'm not talking about a personality-driven thing. I'm talking about a boldness that is God's source because we settle it who he is. Have you settled it? You've settled that relationship with him. And we echo the prayer of Jesus then every day. Father, bring glory to your name through me today, wherever I go. Boldness has a lot of ways. I mean, I can remember in locker rooms growing up and places where I had opportunities to speak up for Jesus. Sometimes I did it well. Sometimes I didn't do it so well. But I remember, example, in my first church where I was a youth pastor, had an unbelievable youth group, all kinds of kids from great families and a peripheral group. Just what a blessing it was. What a start. And one family, the Parker family, Al was the nicest guy in the world. We had to get on him sometimes because if he prayed with people at the altar, he'd try to talk them out of their sin. I don't mean like forgiveness, like, oh, honey, you didn't really mean it. You know what I mean? He was the nicest guy. He was the only guy that I knew was so friendly. He shook people's hands 5 or 7 times. By the time they got from parking lot front doors, they'd go, we're not coming back to this church. You're too friendly. But his wife was a classy lady, Mary Lou, and she was a classy gal, and she was not as outgoing and outspoken, but when she spoke, it mattered. And she was at a gathering on, it could have been a New Year's Eve kind of thing, I don't remember exactly, but the conversation went negative towards somebody who wasn't there, because how many of you know, we love to talk about people who aren't there, right? And she just said, hey, and it wasn't her home, it was somebody else's home, she said, this is wrong, and it's got to stop. And I tell you, it got awkward in a hurry, but the gossip hit the wall instead of the fan that night. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, her boldness in that small way, spirit-prompted, just changed the whole course of the evening. So let's translate that in our lives, and you could come with all kinds of scenarios, but I'll give you a few. Like, because of my faith in Jesus, I'm not going to be a part of this kind of talk because I want my lips to align with my life. Teens, you don't have that problem either, do you, talking a different way at school or in locker rooms than you do at church or youth group or at home? No. If we do, our lives won't align before our peers. They won't respect us in our faith. I'm not going to be a part of that talk. Because of love, I love Jesus, I'm going to choose modesty and purity. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Because Jesus created and loves this person, I refuse to treat them like an object of my desire. Because I love Jesus, I'm going to honor my future wife or husband by making choices towards purity right now. This deal could make me lots of money, but I just don't know. I just don't feel good about it. I will not compromise. How do you know those kind of things, that kind of boldness God honors, and that can totally change outcomes? In our culture, as I've been mentioning, these kinds of stands and many others may be ridiculed and criticized, but God recognizes these as boldness. And we're living for His, well done, I'm proud of you. And we may not hear it till we get to heaven, but I'm living for that. How about you? I read a story, a true story, and I haven't watched it. I didn't know how trendy it was to be a cook, or if I would have been an excellent chef, a lot more girls would have liked me in high school. I mean, that seems to be a thing now, right? Let's see, a writer, a chef, or what is it on all the topics? They're cool. I never explored those professions. But there was a guy named Lance, a Christian guy, and he made it to the finals of a reality cooking show called Chopped. Has anybody ever heard of it? Chopped? Look at me, teens, you ever heard of it? I don't know if it's going on now. I could say, you know, it was there for 1 week and it's gone, but this really happened. There was a girl competing on the show who was really hurting. He got to know her, and he prayed for her, and wouldn't you know that she got chopped. He prayed for her, and she got chopped. Isn't that, do you ever feel those kind of prayers happen? You pray for somebody, and they get sicker or whatever. Well, he prayed. She got chopped. He also shared on the show, how God had changed him from a mean-hearted person to a kind-hearted person with a heart of compassion and love for Jesus. At the end of the show, he ended up winning the $10,000 prize, I believe it was, which he really could have used. That's why he really wanted to do it. He wanted to get the exposure, but he wanted that cash. And on the show, he said he believed God wanted him to give his prize money to the girl who had formerly been chopped. And the show ended, of all things, with a close-up panning of this guy with his hands and his faith lifted to heaven. And it was said that there were few dry eyes in that studio, and God got all the glory just because of somebody's boldness. Is that foolish? No, God works through boldness. Okay, so my first point is simply this, that from God's perspective, when you are in relationship with Him, being bold and being brave is normal. God-sourced, but normal. The second thing is about the word I mentioned earlier, that is truly an amazing thing. It still has the power to amaze, and that's a good thing, a good thing. Boldness, let's say, for the glory of God, not for the annoyance of people, not for lifting ourselves up. It still amazes a watching world, and they are watching you. They are watching. Boldness still has the power to unlock and open hearts and doors of opportunity. So let's go back to 13, verse 13. The members of the council were amazed. These are religious people. They've seen it, done it all. They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Maybe they knew about their lack of it earlier. I don't know. But they were amazed when they saw it in action, because they knew they had the power, as I said, to sentence them, to do whatever they wanted them, torture them, imprison, kill, whatever. And these guys were still fearlessly bold, proclaiming the resurrected Jesus, because they passionately believed what they were saying. They had experienced the reality of the resurrected Jesus. Some time ago, I heard Craig Rochelle telling his testimony, and I may have shared this in recent years, I don't know, or months, but he was talking about his major transformation. He was a partier, wild guy in college, and God met him in an unusual way and called him by name. And he was out in a field, on a ball field, and when he got up, it's like a new person had come to life within him. God had done amazing work, had forgiven him his sins and transformed him. And so I think it was later, if it wasn't later that year at the university, and maybe it was in the spring of the year, that he was named male athlete of the year for his particular sport, which was tennis. But he was a good athlete, and it was at a prestigious university. And so they called him up to the microphone, and he was a new Christian and didn't know any better. So he just began to talk about how Jesus was transforming his life right there before God and everybody. And how many of you know it got really quiet in that room? Is he allowed to say that? On the way to his seat, another athlete that he knew of and knew casually but not well looked up at him, touched his arm, and said, "Hey, that's the boldest thing I've ever seen in my life." Seizing the opportunity just to declare the name of Jesus. I'll come back to the story in a minute, but I ask you this. When was the last time you amazed someone when your boldness pointed them to God? Has that ever happened? Or do we not want to offend? And are we letting the culture close us down from proclaiming the name of the resurrected Jesus, the only power that has the power to transform our world? And I want to ask you this. I don't know where it fits, but I just thought of it first service. I was having a conversation with somebody else, and we were getting ready to pray, and I said, you know, here's the question. If you and I, if you and I are examples, and if in the morning everyone turned to Jesus and loved him like we do, we're imperfect, but how many problems and circumstances of the world that we fight for would be gone in an instant? And I want to ask you that. If all of us at Claim Worcester Nest, if we had an encounter, said yes to Jesus, and were transformed, I mean, we wouldn't be lying, cheating, stealing, and all those things. I mean, some of you still might like Michigan or whatever, but we're not talking about that. You know, you can love Jesus and love Michigan or Ohio State or whatever. Are you following me? I just want you to think about this. Look at me, teens. Look at me. The person you are at school in the locker room, if in the morning everybody in the world was like you and experiencing Jesus and following him like you're following him, what would our world look like? Because if we were genuinely following him, our world would be transformed. There isn't hardly a problem that wouldn't go away. Agreed? But I have to answer that. Am I going to make that kind of impact where my life, okay, I can't change the world, but I can make a difference here in my family, with my kids, with my grands, where I serve in the town, the community, and so can you. But it's not going to happen unless we are baptized in boldness, so to speak, fearlessly proclaiming the message of Jesus. I'm speaking, hear me, this ties together. I'm speaking of boldness backed up with integrity of life, not drive by, hey, I want to show you the power of God. No, they want to see it in our lives, first of all. They want to know that it's a reality. These opportunities come up as we faithfully serve God and people. They watch and say, there's something different about you. They may be critical, but they're watching you, this person or that. They're so generous with their heart and resources. And with our lives, we earn the right to point them to Jesus. Every now and then, drive-by witnessing works, and I've heard all kinds of stories. I mean, it's about like if you're fishing, you don't take a pole, you just pray that fish will jump in your boat. I'm sure it's happened. But more times than not, it's got to be intentional, and it's got to come out of a relationship. Most people come to Jesus and say yes to Jesus because of a personal relationship with somebody. I'm sure somebody just throws a track out the window, and it just floats down to somebody, and they read it, and they're saved. I know that's happened. But the majority of our people, our family, our friends, those that we care about, are going to be reached by the integrity, through the integrity of our lives, the consistency of our lives, proclaiming Christ, but also backing it up with our lifestyle. Amen? I want people to look and say, wow, I'm not sure what it is, but there's something different in their life. And then finally, being bold and brave in God's spirit and power. It's a spiritual discipline. It's the most spiritual thing you can do and be, to boldly proclaim the name of the Savior Jesus. Spiritual boldness comes not from knowing about and just knowing the story I talked at Christmas time, but from knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus comes from meeting him at the cross and following him and spending quantities of time with him. And I couldn't emphasize this enough, and I'll dovetail on things Joel shared about 21 Jumpstart. We believe that getting in God's Word, I mean, it would be interesting to know how many of us really make an effort to get into God's Word ever on a daily basis. I mean, it would be very interesting to know. I can't say it, including online, but I can tell you that we've got to get in it quantity to receive those quality moments in Revelation. Are you with me on that? What would be an example? Families that they go, and they skip this or that because we want to have quality moments. You can't legislate quality. The only thing you can do is with family. Spend quantity time together. And how do you know that quality moments are carved out of quantity time spent, invested? I've seen vacations ruined because people work like dogs 51 weeks a year, but they save that 50 seconds. Man, all these great things are going to happen when we go there. And they put so many eggs in one basket that it falls apart and they come back depleted. No, because it's the quantity. It's the through the year relationship with God, our families, with our spouses and people. That's what makes the difference over time. Are you with me? And so as your pastor, what's the one thing that would make the biggest transformation, that would help us to be all more and more what God wants to be? It is, as Pastor Joel said, getting God's word in us in a systematic way. Well, I don't always feel like it. It's not all glamorous and glorious, I guarantee. I just finished another reading through the Bible. You know how many years I've read through the Bible. It's not all glamorous, but I tell you, I still reap benefits from that quantity involvement in the scripture, taking it in. It is in me. And it makes such an incredible difference. Oh, there's no excuse like I don't read. The Bible can be read to you, whatever the case may be. They have so many plans that are developed for teens, for adults, for young people, whatever it is. Find something that fits you and get that into the spiritual disciplines of your life. It will help you to be bold and to stand on the truth of God's word. What does it say again in Acts, the last part of that, I read it earlier. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus, quantity of time with Jesus. Do you think all those 3 years were grand and glorious in the raging heat and dust and storms and all those kind of things? They weren't all great. They saw their Lord taken away and crucified, tortured, crucified, rose again. Then he saw him go to heaven thinking they were alone. It wasn't all grand and glorious for sure. But the time they spent with Jesus in the upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit, that changed everything. Peter, once a coward, now stood boldly and talked about Jesus in the face of severe persecution, torture, whatever. This was possible because he had been with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He didn't just know about him. He didn't just know his story. He had experienced it. How about you? Time with Jesus builds your faith and confidence in him. It leads us to have greater boldness and to look for those opportunities, to make the most of those boldness opportunities, and those produce God results for Jesus. So our goal isn't today, I don't want you to come out here thinking, our goal, I just got to be bold. No, our goal is to get to know Jesus. Boldness just begins naturally to flow out of this relationship, regardless of the context of your personality. When we got God's word in us by spending time with us, in him, with him, listening and talking to him, asking for his direction, he'll give us boldness, opportunities, and it'll become a daily way of life. And what a thing to wake up and say, God, I want to be bold for you today. I'm not going to just push down, crash down doors. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm not trying to drive people away. I want to bring people to you. But could you give me opportunities? And as you give me opportunities, God, I will walk through that door. I'll use them, and I'll point to you and praise you. What would happen? Don't you think that would answer that prayer? Father, bring glory to your name today. I want to be bold and proclaim your name to someone in need. I want to talk about life transformation. Well, I want to wrap it up. Boldness, speaking the name of Jesus, is God's will for you. If you're a follower of him, he says, don't be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you on that final day. Let's not be ashamed. We don't have to dumb it down. We don't have to go silent because our culture says this, that, or the other. We're standing and we're proclaiming the truth of God. We're proclaiming that we spend time with Jesus, that we know him. God wants us to use us for his glory. It's his will and to impact and influence our world. We may not impact the world there, but we can make a difference where we are. So be encouraged. You're here for a reason. God has placed you strategically, and he wants to stir a passion in your heart for him and for people. When I was in high school, and a lot of time the Catholic school in the North Canton area, they would educate kids until eighth grade year, then they came to North Canton Hoover, and I still remember in our homeroom class, I met my friend Tim Wrigley, a good, staunch Catholic kid, just a good kid, likable, popular as all get out, but we became really good friends, and through high school, played ball together and all of that, and he, through the years, we'd touch base from time to time, but I never saw him for years and years. I mean, I graduated in 73 until he and his wife, not girlfriend, cheerleader girlfriend then, but Heidi, his wife now, they came and sat right down there where Kim is. And this was about, three or four Thanksgiving Sundays ago. We ended up having them over to our home. Could have been 3 to 5 years, can't keep track. But I had talked to him enough to know that in the ensuing years, he had a life-changing encounter with Jesus and said yes to him. And he was a very successful business person, has been just retired recently, and just as consistent as day is long, still has contact with all kinds of high school kids, sharing his faith in all kinds of ways. But he sent me a text just a couple days ago, and I don't communicate that often, but it was just a personal thing about, you know, wishing the best and God's blessing in this season of life and all that. And I thought about it, and I texted him back, and I said something like this. I erased most of my text, so I don't have it exactly, but I said something like this. About, so, Tim, so thankful for you and for your life, what God's doing in your life. And I pray that in this new year, you'll enjoy a greater significance, even in your retirement, a greater significance of serving God and serving people as you give your life away. And I know that's exactly what he's doing. And it was really humbling because when he came to our home for dinner, our grown kids were around the table and probably some grands. And he talked about the difference that my life had on him. And I thought I didn't do enough and probably didn't. But he still said, I was watching you and you were consistent in your love for Jesus. So you never know. Let's go back to our Craig story. He's telling this, and it's a true story from his perspective. He said, after that senior athletic award banquet where he's named the man of the year, 25 years later, he said at least, he was at a soccer game with some of his boys, and that same guy who had caught his arm on his way to the seat, that's the most amazing boldness I've ever seen, came running up to him and said, Craig, and Craig wasn't even sure who he was and had to focus and finally figured it out. But he came up and embraced him with a giant hug like a long-lost friend, and he said, Pastor Craig, I got to tell you something. I remember you as so wild in college, and you just were crazy, would do anything, and then you met Jesus, and then you did this bold thing telling us at an athletic banquet about Jesus and how we could find him. I've never seen anything like it. And he said, recently, in the recent years, I was in a really painful place in my life, and I thought I'd come to your church because I'd heard and I'd followed what you were doing, and I'd check it out. And when I did, and I sat there and I heard your message, I heard that you were still preaching it like you did back then. You hadn't compromised. You hadn't dumbed it down. And I came back again and again and again, and I brought my wife and I brought my kids, and we've all given our lives to Christ, my spouse and my children too, and we started bringing other people to church and to Jesus as well. Isn't that incredible? All because one new Christian that didn't know any better just got up and shared his faith and trust in Jesus and his transforming power. There's power in the name of Jesus. We're going to sing that in a little while. So I've said all that to say this. Behavior determines, our belief determines our behavior. It's not what we say, but it's what we truly, truly believe and hold on to. And what we truly believe, what we truly settled in our hearts about God and his goodness, that's going to determine how we live. It's determining how you're living right now. So let's be the real deal in our identity and our relationships. Yes, I'm not ashamed. I've said yes to a relationship with Jesus. I'm not ashamed because of that. I am a child of God. That's the lens I live through. And in so doing, hear me, we won't be out of touch. We will be relevant to the lives of real people today that are hurting and in need of hope. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Let's be filled to overflowing with his love and joy of compassion. And may it be true of us what was said of the disciples in Acts 4:20. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. In other words, what we've experienced. We can't stop talking about the resurrected Christ. He's changed everything. He's changed our destiny. Got a little post from Rick Warren to pastors, and he said, in this year of change at the beginning, let's stop making excuses. Let's take stock of what we have and offer that to the Lord. Let's take a step. Let's act out in faith, and let's refocus our mind and heart, and let's trust God because He knows what's best. And let's live like He knows what He's doing. And I believe that with all my heart. It's interesting that a lot of my former teens are now approaching 60. Isn't that hard to believe? They still view me as a youth pastor, but on a couple of occasions, I've been on the front porch with one of them who's come by to visit, and they prop a couple of them in particular, I'm thinking of, haven't been living for Jesus and following through, and that, you know, I just got all fired up, and you can imagine how those relationships started up, and they shook their head and go, "You're still saying the same thing all these years later." I go, "Yeah, it's all because of Jesus and the difference He makes in lives. He wants to make that difference in your life. Look at me. He wants to make you bold." Who, me? Yeah, you. Your boldness may shock somebody, but it won't say I'm great. It'll say He's great. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's the only one that can turn this world around. All the utopian ideas that our culture has, that we do this and fix this and fix that, that's not going to change the course. But if we fall in love with Jesus, that'll change the course of history. I want to be a part of that, don't you? Don't you? I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing a little bit, songs of worship. We're not done. Hang steady. Pastor Andrew is going to do a closing that I've asked him to do specifically as well. But let's really enter into worship, okay? Nate, would you lead us? And let's just think about that. Lord, is the boldness You put in me, is it amazing? I want people to see and be amazed.